What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to yet another episode of the Those Movie Dudes podcast. I'm your host, John. Love eating Twizzlers at the movie theater, maybe a little bit of popcorn along the way. But yeah, this is the show where we get together on a monthly basis, talk about some new releases, some first-time watches, and end the show with a little bit of trivia. So go ahead and follow us on the various podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Check us out on Instagram, TikTok, at Those Movie Dudes. Let's bring in our other dudes. We got Ducky and Nate. Welcome back, boys.
Oh, boy. We're here. Made it.
We're here. Dune popcorn buckets and all, ready to go. Talk about some films.
Happy St. Patrick's
Day. Happy St. Patrick's
Day,
yeah. Good.
The nice glass of Guinness right here.
Yep.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
3, 2, 1.
It's a nice lemon water. Staying hydrated and staying active. Let's go back from an intense basketball game.
You know, we love to see that. My activity today consisted of going to Publix to buy beer. So,
yeah.
Here we are.
You might fall asleep, but we'll figure it out.
You'll be good. Have a nice Celsius. That's 8 p.m. at night.
Always a good plan.
For the whole night. There you go.
Yeah, no, I'm good. When I have to wake up at 4. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Well, are you ready to talk about some movies, though?
I'm here.
Sure?
I'm positive.
All right, Ducky?
Yeah, I guess.
Where I'm at. Ducky, why don't you start it off with some news for us today? What do we got?
Oh, a little movie news. Oh, forget about this.
This is movie news.
News. Is he saying nose?
I think
news.
He's saying
news. It is actually news. Okay.
Nudes.
Nudes.
Could be saying that.
On the Patreon.
Elizabeth the Bicky nudes. What?
Whoa.
Some movie news. South by Southwest is currently happening. It was going on last week. A lot of movies had their premieres, their debuts at South by Southwest, including The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. You had Immaculate with Sydney Sweeney. There's some other ones that I can't think of right now. But early reviews say that The Fall Guy is phenomenal, and it's like this is gonna be like the hit of the summer. It's already got like an 88%, so this is one to probably put on your radar, that it's gonna be pretty fun. I hear that it's a kind of like a love letter to stunt work, and it's also a hilarious action comedy that showcases Ryan Gosling's comedic chops once more. And we all saw Barbie and The Nice Guys, and we like Ryan Gosling, and we think he's funny, so
we do. Maybe. Like Ryan Gosling. I've seen the trailer for this a handful of times.
Yeah,
it's played at every single theater experience I've had over the last month or so. And it looks like fun. Like, it definitely looks like fun. I don't think it's a movie that I want to jump out of my seat to really see, but I do like the cast, and I think it's a cute premise. So,
yep.
Why not?
Well, all the reviews are kind of praising it right now. So this is one that I was casually kind of just, you know, looking forward to. It was on my radar, but now I think I might actually check it out when it's in theaters. Who knows?
Wow.
Nate, what do you think of The Fall Guy?
When I first heard the title, I thought they were making a live action Fall Guys movie. And I'm like, Ryan Gosling,
that would be crazy.
Playing it.
Yeah. No, it would definitely be Chris Pratt, because it's always Chris Pratt now. So yeah.
I wasn't sold by the trailer, though. But that's just me, because like when I hear them take like rock music and they change it to like cinematic, I'm like, oh no. But the cast saves it a little bit.
So there was The Fall Guy, and then another movie that premiered at South by Southwest Thursday night, and the word masterpiece was thrown around like fucking crazy. Like almost every other tweet had masterpiece in the review, and that was like a little sketch ball. Everyone was like, wait a minute, what are these critics saying masterpiece here? Because I mean, the movie looked okay. I didn't really have a lot of anticipation, but now after the early reviews and what people are saying, they're saying that it's actually a little bit different than what you think it might be. So They're saying that Civil War is Alex Garland's masterpiece. They say it's his best movie. They say it's phenomenal. They
like
say
modern, right? Edgier like modern Civil War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they divide the country.
I thought you were out here talking about Sydney Sweeney's Immaculate. I'm like, are you kidding me? There's no way in hell this is a masterpiece.
I've heard average things about that one. I think it has like a 67% right now.
Okay.
I hear that it has a lot of cheap jump scares and that the ending is actually really surprising and good, but I think you might get some decent thrills out of it. But I mean, the real news here is that the Civil War is supposedly phenomenal.
Civil War is a movie I've seen the trailer for again probably 20 times, and every single time it makes me want to see the movie more. So
Kaylee Spiney,
Kaylee Spiney.
I've never even heard of it until just now. I've heard of the trailer, phenomenal. The name. I haven't seen the trailer. No, okay. I've heard the name Civil War, but I don't know anything else. Oh, it's got that guy from Dune Part One that we never see again.
Yep, Stephen Henderson. Spaney, Nick Offerman,
President. That's the only part in the trailer is Nick Offerman's kind of narrating it as the president. And I'm like, I don't think I really buy Nick Offerman as the president of the United States, but I can try to get past that part.
One tweet said, Nick Offerman's best supporting actor campaign starts when?
What?
So, I don't know.
Fucking break. There's no way, bro.
Okay. I don't know. A lot of people are saying that this movie is very, very good and different than what you think it might be. Which, I mean, from the trailer, it seems like it's definitely clearly one thing, but
aliens,
we'll see. But you're on the edge of your seat throughout. It's intense. They say see it in IMAX in the loudest theater possible because it's just like edge of your seat, nonstop thrills. So, Nate, do you think you're gonna go check this one out in theaters?
Oh, for sure. Okay. What else did he direct? Ex Machina and
Godzilla.
Annihilation.
And no, not Godzilla. I'm thinking of Gareth Edwards. My bad.
He did, yeah. Ex Machina, Annihilation, and Men.
Man. That's what it was. Okay, yeah. I liked all of those.
Yeah, great director. Under the radar director, I feel like people forget about him, but every movie he's made has been... I mean, Men is really out there, but all his movies are very good.
He picks good casts for his movies. Like, Men's kind of weird, but... crap, what's the girl's name? She was from Thinking of Ending Things. Jesse Buckley.
Oh, Jesse
Buckley. Oh,
yeah, because she was in Women Talk and all that stuff, and she's really good.
Gotcha. I was thinking of Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. Another piece of movie news is we have Lanthimos and Stone reuniting for a movie called The Kinds of Kindness. It's going to be releasing in theaters in June. So in a couple of months, we're going to get another film from Yorgos Lanthimos and Emma Stone. It also has Jesse Plemons, Willem Dafoe, Margaret Qualley, Hong Chow. Joe Alwyn, Hunter Schafer's in the cast, John. It's a contemporary film set in the U.S., three different stories with four or five actors who play one part in each story. It's kind of like a anthology movie.
Mm.
It's most likely going to debut at the Cannes Film Festival if we have a June release. So I don't know about Oscars, but they shot this movie back in 2022 in New Orleans, entitled And, but changed to The Kinds of Kindness. So soon after the success of Poor Things and all the Oscar wins and how great that movie was, we're going to have another movie with Emma Stone and Yorgos Lanthimos. Nate, what do you think? Keeping you engaged.
I like it, but I don't want it to be like oversaturated with Yorgos and Emma Stone. I like that they work together, but I don't want to get too much of it because I don't want to get sick of it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Which is very like hard Anderson. For these two. And with it being so quick afterward, even though Poor Things came out, 6-8 months ago? Something like that. Yeah. So there's enough time, but I'm going to see it. Yorgos Lanthimos. I've seen his weird movies. Like, I love Dogtooth.
Mm. And John, you think you might be checking this one out?
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it. I worry, like, my first thought is, oh, this is probably too soon. But then again, and I mean, they filmed this I don't know when they filmed it in comparison to Poor Things, but I think
I like
Poor
the cast. Things, the cast is
the cast is amazing.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think Poor Things was the exception for films of this director that I liked, and that was a lot due to Emma Stone. So that could help out here as well. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it for sure. I think it's pretty badass. But and we have a couple of other movies that had the premiere, they screened at South by Southwest. We had Late Night with the Devil, which John had a screening to on Saturday night.
I want to see
I got John a free screening with the director, I think, doing a Q&A, and he just wanted to play Fortnite instead. So he did not go and check it out.
It was at 10 p.m. I was like, there's no chance.
It was a 10 p.m. screening, but as you can see, it's only an hour and 33 minutes or so.
That's okay. So, keep justifying it all you want. I chose to put my mental health first. And that involves playing Fortnite, I guess.
But it's gonna make its Shutter debut, I think, like April 21st or so. So you can check it out on Shutter. They say it's the horror movie of the year. I mean 100% certified fresh, 47% or 47 critic reviews. So I am definitely hyped about that one. Put that on your watch list. And Monkey Man had its debut. They say this is the action movie of the year. They say it's incredible. Dev Patel making a directorial debut. It's got a lot of heart, a lot of emotion, and it makes John Wick look like a Disney movie, is what some critics said.
What?
So, I don't know. We'll see. God. I think that's blowing smoke up its ass, but we'll see. I mean, I was looking forward to this one quite a bit, so I'm glad to see that it's getting such good reviews since it comes out in a couple of weeks.
Damn. Okay, I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm. I saw like partial clips of it, and I'm like, "Wow, okay." But to be honest, when I heard the name of it, I thought it was going to be a movie on the character from Hey Arnold, Monkey Man. I don't know if you guys remember that at all.
No, is that Gerald?
A guy just ran. He ran on the rooftops throwing bananas at people, saying "Monkey Man," and so that's kind of what I thought this was going to be. But
maybe it has a reference to it. Who knows? Who am I to say?
Honestly, even just a poster, like if there was a poster on the wall or something of, oh, hey, Arnold. Okay, I'm in. Sold.
Could be.
But Dev Patel was really good in The Green Knight. So he's
obviously
fantastic.
I'm sure there's going to be some explanation behind the name Monkey Man. But
or maybe not.
But we'll see.
Yeah. So I'm John, and that's the end of the podcast.
Movie news. That's all I got for you. I mean, I do have a couple of questions, but I don't have to ask you guys. So I can just continue on.
Ask me the questions.
Oh, nice. I have answers. All right, we're right here.
Yeah. Right.
You're up in the batter seat then. Batter seat. Can you imagine they sat down and swung the bat and hit the ball?
Strike
fun.
Swing and miss. So John used to say strike.
Because we watched Shakespeare in Love for first time watch for this podcast today. That movie is kind of highly regarded as being a very overrated Best Picture winner, and plus it won like 7 Oscars. So my question to you guys is, if you could change one Oscar win in history, what would it be?
Oh, that's easy.
Go ahead.
Oh, La La Land beats Moonlight any day.
Oh,
okay. Any day of the week. Like, Moonlight is a great movie, but come on, La La Land just had everything. Where I felt like Moonlight was just kind of sad most of the time. I thought La La Land had like some of the best arcs of the characters, and the ending still just kills me. Just the look that they share, and then it fades out, and it's just the music and the performances and Emma Stone's first Oscar, of course. So yeah, I would change that. And honestly, Shakespeare in Love should just have not won. I'm looking up up against it.
We'll get into
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. The whole time I was watching Shakespeare in Love, I'm like, this beat Saving Private Ryan. Like, are you kidding me? Anyways, like
they must have been on
we'll get into
when
it
they were voting, because that was
I think for me, like, there's
a fantastic, but yeah, no. And how did Judi Dench win an Oscar? How?
we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
That's later in the show. Maybe we should just do it first. We could do that before the
like, come on, just because she's being a quippy Queen Elizabeth. Yeah,
with like a fucking receding hairline. Yeah,
I don't know how she won that Oscar, but
she's
sure
in like 7 minutes. Was like...
I'm sure that's how she reacted when she won.
Yeah, John. All right, so La La Land is best.
That's a good choice.
That's a good one.
It's been since 2009 where we started getting more than five nominees each year. And I think the one that took me the most by surprise, and this is before like all the political bullshit. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really factor that into my choices for who deserved it, but I was very surprised that Argo beat out Life of Pi and Zero Dark Thirty and Silver Linings Playbook and all those movies in 2012. I would give it to Life of Pi that year.
Ten.
Argo, of all movies, Argo.
Yeah,
the most forgettable movie on the planet.
I'm kind of similar, and I'm also going to stick with the Best Picture category. The King's Speech in 2010. I mean, it's a good movie. It's fine. I have no interest in ever watching it again. So but it beat movies. Out like Inception of that year. Like, come on.
The Social
what
Network.
Is, what do the Social Network have against the blockbuster movies? Like, I get it, but if it's not the best picture of the year, don't vote it the best picture of the year.
Since the 2020s decade, besides the Nomadland, I mean, that was kind of like a typical best picture winner. Since then, you had Coda, you had Everything Everywhere All at Once, and then you had Oppenheimer. I mean, those are very accessible mainstream kind of movies that have all been at the top of my lists. At the end of each year. And usually the best picture winners is kind of how I've associated with best picture winners have been kind of like towards like, I don't know, like the mid section, the mid tier movies like King's Speech and Argo and The Hurt Locker and Slumdog Millionaire, The Artist. It's like they're all good movies, they're fine, but like best picture out of all the other ones, I mean, that's just I have a different opinion or taste, but it's all about the movies that campaign the hardest, and we'll get into that with Shakespeare in Love later on.
We had a lull in the early 2010s where I think some movies that shouldn't necessarily have won, but if you go back to the 90s and the 80s, I think the movies that probably should have won still won. And that might have been strongly due to the fact that there are only five choices.
Could be.
Well, like Forrest Gump didn't win. Shawshank didn't win. There's a few of them.
I mean, there's a few.
Probably could have had a better chance. I don't remember what won. I think like The Last Emperor won once.
Seabiscuit didn't even win in 2003, which is a fucking travesty if you ask me.
Return of the King and stuff, so
yeah, obviously.
All right, well, that's what I was curious about. So that's my question. I don't really think I need to go into
any more
the other
questions
one. I have another one. I just don't. I'm not really
ask it.
Feeling it. Okay, fine.
Fucking
A film that you believe deserves sequel or spinoff? And what storyline would you like to see explored?
Good question.
Gosh.
Oh, God. There's a lot of movies.
Sequel or spinoff?
Ooh, this one just kind of came to the top of my head because I mentioned Shawshank. I would like to see, like, what happened to John Coffey before he got to the mile?
Whoa.
Like,
what?
He just comes out of nowhere.
Like, who plays him? Jonathan Majors? Oh.
No.
I feel like he'd be a good choice if it wasn't for, you know.
David Washington.
Yeah, John David Washington could do it.
Or who's the guy that did, was it Sterling K. Brown? He's a fantastic actor.
He's good.
But like, I don't know. That was just a character that came to my mind where I was like, you just see him getting out of the truck and they're like, oh, this is this big dude. Where did they find him? Like,
yeah.
What led up to him being captured and stuff? I don't know.
I don't know. So many movies. I mean, I could. You know what? I'll see a sequel of Don't Look Up. I want to see what happens to the rest of those people once they get to that planet. What happens next? Did they all get eaten by those weird dinosaur things, or like do they make a society and somehow survive? Okay, they all do. Okay, that's the end.
They mated with the dinosaurs, and we ended up with Jurassic Park.
I want to see like 500 years later, like what the fuck happened.
Or we could see like a spinoff of Ben Affleck's character from Shakespeare in Love.
Whoa.
Damn. The most unnecessary just cameo character. I'm like,
I was like, why is Ben Affleck in this movie? What? Okay. I feel Spencer, like we should just talk about Shakespeare in Love at this point. Oh yeah, you have to answer.
Are you muted? Because I can't hear you.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I was trying to think of that as you guys were talking. Honestly, I am still pretty adamant that I do want to see a sequel to Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat. Oh. Focus on Emily Blunt. I mean, sure, have Tom Cruise in it. Doesn't need to be the lead. I'd rather see Emily Blunt take on the lead role with Tom Cruise, maybe in like a supporting role. But we'll see. I don't know. I definitely want to see that. If not, I'd love to see Jeff Bridges pick up the robe again in The Big Lebowski. But I don't know.
Pick up the... I think you said the rope, and I was like...
The robe. No, the robe.
Okay. Or just call it Walter. Yeah. And have John Goodman reprise
just Walter. Kind of like a buddy kind of road trip movie with them again. I think that'd be fun later in their life.
Give me another Cloverfield movie with Mary.
As long as the Coen brothers do it, but just not like Driveway Dolls. Anyways, okay, so that's those are the questions for movie news, and Ducky asks a question, which we don't have a jingle for yet, but yeah.
Wait, what?
Ducky ask question.
We do have it somewhere. I just don't have it.
Oh, here it is. I just won my first Grammy. It's on a cool down. It won't let me play it. There it is.
All right.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
All right. What's the next segment, John?
Oh,
I love Haggerty.
Fun. So the next segment we're gonna do, because it is in high demand right now, is going to be
first time watchers. Are you watching with us? We're those movie dudes, and we about to discuss another movie that we've never seen. So grab some popcorn and pull up.
God, Jesus, dude, come shit. On, this is a fuck. Kid show.
You said grab the popcorn and pull up a seat, so I did. Anyway. Today we're going to be talking about Nate's choice. At first it was going to be potentially my choice, but it was his birthday, so Nate got to choose.
Yeah. Yep. Do I regret it? We'll find out.
I need to know that I have done one thing right with my life.
I'm going to pull up a graphic here for us.
I love that performance. Just saying. I was in tears. Yeah,
that's great.
All right, we need to stop. It's too much. Spencer, come on, that's crazy. Anyways, Nate, take it away. Why'd you choose Shakespeare in Love as a first time watch? What drew you to this movie, and why did you make us sit through it today?
So I've been, like, when we talked a couple episodes ago about some of our goals that we were trying to accomplish, I figured, well, let's knock out some Best Picture winners. But to be honest, some of the other ones that I wanted to pick were either not streaming anywhere, or you guys would have had to rent it. And so I messaged Spencer. I was like, you know what? Let's just go with Shakespeare in Love. It's a Best Picture winner. Oh, hi. Oh, yeah. And I was like, let's go for it. It's, oh, no, not you. But yeah. And anything with Gwyneth Paltrow. Oh, I just got a Charlie horse. Cut away from me. Oh, God.
What?
Because I played basketball, I got a Charlie horse.
Oh, God. I don't exercise, so I don't know what that's like. Oh no.
Oh, boy.
Nay!
Right. I'm good. Let me just stretch a little bit.
I've got the magic in me.
Was that enough time? Please tell me that was enough time.
Yeah, we'll give him a minute here. Shakespeare in Love. John, have you seen this movie before?
No, why the fuck would I watch this? Here, so, no, I had not seen this movie before. I think when we talked a few weeks ago about, like, how many Best Picture winners have we seen, I think there's still a good 40 or 50 that I have not seen, this being one of them, 1998 Shakespeare in Love.
Which should not have won Best Picture. I'm just saying that right now. All right, continue.
What? So, yeah, and what drew me in is obviously it is a love story in a certain context. And, I mean, the whole movie's about love, I suppose, and whether or not love can be translated from a play into real life. But, yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow's in the movie, so that's really all I care to say about why I watched it.
Yeah, but yeah. John Madden directed it.
Not the coach.
Exotic Marigold and
not the former NFL coach.
Miss Sloan. Oh, he directed that?
Yeah, the Jackson Chastain movie. Yeah.
It wasn't bad. But this one was just this was the Oscars like Hollywood movie. Like I can see why they gave it to it, but it shouldn't have won. Just about William Shakespeare and how he may have possibly not actually written all of his stuff and all of the controversy that was going on with having women in plays back in the day. And this was what, the late 1500s, and you could be arrested for having a woman act in your play. I didn't realize that. And so when they started bringing that aspect into it, I was like, oh, I guess I didn't realize that that was against the law. But Gwyneth Paltrow, I will say, is fantastic in this.
Not as good as Judi Dench.
Well, I think she's pretty good at playing a convincing woman dressed as a boy.
Because
like I look at her dressed as a boy, and I had no idea that that was Gwyneth Paltrow the whole movie. Just like all the other characters didn't know.
You
I was
were
like,
a liar.
I was like, kidding. What? It was like
you're
she's the man with Amanda Bynes. I'm like, no way.
You're kidding.
You're kidding.
That's Gwyneth Paltrow?
Okay, no, he's fucking... He's just joking.
No, what the fuck? How are these characters so fucking stupid? How?
It was the 1500s.
He's literally talking about the specific like color of her eyes and how he's fallen in love with the shape of her lips and her bosom. His words, not mine. And then he's looking right at her and she doesn't know that it's her. I don't like movies that play dumb like that, and that bothered me. That's pretty much the whole movie.
I can't even really find the words for it. Like now that I'm thinking about it, it was one of the longest 2-hour experiences I've ever felt. Just I wasn't really attached to many of the characters at all. Like I didn't really care.
You didn't care?
I did.
No.
Huh?
You didn't care. That's what you're saying.
No, like I get what they were trying to do with the whole love story and Shakespeare and making them this like hopeless romantic. I don't think it was that glossy and pretty. It couldn't have been. And just some of the acting choices, like they had Ben Affleck in this. He sticks out like a sword.
I now finally get that Family Guy clip where he's like Ben Affleck preparing for his role as Henry the.
Hello.
All right.
Hello. Bingo. All right, let's go. Yeah.
So my review of this movie on Letterboxd is simply just who gives a fuck? I seriously just like I didn't care at all. Joseph Fiennes, I thought, was just a little over the top. And it's like, damn, like please, he did not get nominated for this performance because I know the movie won like 7 Oscars, which is just insane. Won 7 Oscars. But like the production design, the costumes, I mean, the music was really well done. Gwyneth Paltrow did a great job, I think. It's definitely probably her best performance. But yeah, I don't care at all about the story, about really anything about this movie. Like, I don't know how this movie snuck 7 Oscars. It won the same amount as Everything Ever All at Once, and it beat out Saving Private Ryan and all these other movies that definitely deserve it. So I finally get that argument of like, why did this movie win Best Picture over all those other things? Yeah. And it's honestly because Harvey Weinstein campaigned the fuck out of this movie, and this movie kind of launched the whole like, what movie campaigns harder than like what movie actually deserves the Oscar. And I think this is probably just like a shining example of that. Cause it's kind of just a nothing movie. You've seen it before 100 times, but as the story of like Romeo and Juliet, William Shakespeare, there were times where I thought it was interesting and kind of entertaining and the romance was legit. But I just, like I said, I just who gives a fuck?
But it's just, again, one of those movies where like the romance is so quick. Like, it's just because it's there's so many love stories that are based off literally this story. And we're going back and seeing the story with William Shakespeare. They fall in love like that. And it's just, it's hard to latch on to characters where it's just, it seems so fake and like intentionally fake. And I don't understand why, like, I feel like the Academy is always feels like they need to appreciate movies that go back to the roots of like theater and stuff. And that kind of drives me crazy because I think we're past that. Like, let's move on to what film is now and stop being stuck in the past. Like, this type of content makes me want to fall asleep. Like, it is just so incredibly boring that I struggled. I really, really struggled to get through this movie.
I didn't hate it, but I wasn't blown away by it whatsoever. It just felt very just generic and just nothing. I don't know. It just didn't impact me whatsoever.
And yeah. It's almost like they weren't even thinking of their audience. Like, there were some moments where he's directing her on stage after he finds out that it's her. And he like sees her going to kiss that guy and he goes, oh, no, wait, let me show you how to do it. It's like, you're being really on the nose with this. And like you guys said, the fact that everyone else around them was so oblivious, I was like, really? Right.
It's like, what are we doing?
Don't you think
like,
it's I'm weird not... that your like director or the writer just is so invested in this one person? Like, it wasn't believable enough. They could have made it like had some more like issues between them, have more love, hate back and forth with like families, kind of like how the Romeo and Juliet story was. But instead it was just, oh, Shakespeare is a hopeless romantic and he falls in love with this noble girl who just happens to love him too. It's wasn't believable enough.
Yeah. If you do want to watch Joseph Fiennes meet his bitter end, he gets stoned to death by like 30 women in The Handmaid's Tale. So if you feel like you need to watch that, feel free.
Interesting. No, I think I'm going to pass.
Okay.
So they just get him really stoned. Is that what it was?
Sure. Yep.
Nate, this is your movie. This is another movie that you can check off your best picture list. What would you give this movie on a scale of 1 to 5?
I actually forgot what I put, but I have a feeling and this is probably a higher grade than it sounds like compared to my review, but I think I gave it a 3.5.
Oh.
Yeah, I gave it a 3.5.
That's fresh.
It's a great because grade.
It's not like that's fresh. It's damn. Not it's gonna be okay, plus it's not for a me. It's not a terrible movie. It's just really bland and very
it's hollow
by the book. They did everything that they wanted to get the results that they got, and I don't think they took any leaps of faith as far as the story goes, which I think best picture winners should add those questions to like morality and whatnot. And this, I just didn't care enough. Like, we know that through school, the history of Shakespeare and Romeo and Juliet, I cared about the Romeo and Juliet part, like learning about how that story came to pass, but everything else was just extra that it didn't need to be. And Joseph Fiennes is just, I could see him really trying. It just, it didn't come off as very strong. Yeah. But I like Gwyneth Paltrow and I thought she was great and she's gorgeous. But I don't know how Judi Dench won an Oscar.
Yeah, she did like, fucking nothing.
She's in the movie for 5 minutes.
Nothing.
She was the funniest part, honestly, except for the guy that stutters. But then when it comes time to finally do it, he gives the perfect speech. And funny enough, that's Ron Weasley's father.
Yeah, holy shit.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and the one guy, what's his name? He just recently passed. He's like really trying to get his lines right. Wilkinson? Yes.
Yeah.
And like Shakespeare goes to say the thing and he cuts him right off and he's like, oh, he's really trying here. Okay, let's do this.
All right, so 3.5 out of 5. That's still a decent grade. So
I've seen worse best picture winners. Okay. But this one just was very unremarkable when compared to like Saving Private Ryan, which is an easy 5 out of 5 and probably should have swept everything.
Yep.
So yeah, Shakespeare in Love got away with this one.
Three and a half.
They got their statues.
From Nate, John, what do you give this movie?
Charlie and I didn't like it.
Wednesday.
It was good. It was kind of boring. But ultimately I felt almost nothing from this movie. There are a few scenes that kind of, I was like, okay, this could go somewhere, but it really didn't. So I gave it a 2.5 out of 5. I don't think it's really worth, being up there with other best pictures. I think it's at the bottom of the barrel for, movies that have won. So I think it's very forgettable. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually going to match your 2.5 out of 5. I also gave it a 2.5 out of 5. It's totally acceptable. It's totally fine. You could watch the movie. It's like a great, it's a totally serviceable date night movie. The romance is fine. The performances are good. Production design, costumes, music, like I said. But it's not going to be a movie you really remember and like recommend and want to tell everyone to go, oh my God, I just watched the best movie or a great movie. It's called Shakespeare in Love.
Best movie.
No one's gonna say it. Yeah,
it's the best movie. Clearly,
out of all the other movies that came out that year, it is like, I'm glad we watched it and we can finally have an informed opinion on it. And the opinion is just that it's fine. It's acceptable, but it's not really deserve the win.
If you want to see the best parts, so hard. If you want to see the best parts of Shakespeare in Love, just watch a scary movie. Like when the characters go to the movies and they're watching it on the screen, you see the best part when he's messing around with Gwyneth Paltrow and whatnot. That's all you need to see.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Because it's just lifeless is what it felt like. It just felt like a silhouette of a love story that wasn't taken seriously enough.
All right, well, that is Shakespeare in Love. It is streaming on HBO Max, so if you haven't seen the movie, go and check it out on HBO Max. Come back, leave a comment, let us know what you think of the movie, or if you've seen it, let us know what you thought. Did it deserve to win Best Picture? We do not think so. So, Shakespeare in Love, that is our first time watch. Very,
sorry, very, I apologize.
Mid-movie. No, I mean,
it's in the oven.
We tried, we wanted to see how it would hold up, and unfortunately, it's not that good.
It's anyways, a bingo.
Need to figure out what we're going to be watching for our next first time watch. This is going to be John's pick. He has two movies locked and loaded, ready to go. So Nate and I are going to pull the chat right here and get ready to enter in our pick. So what are the two movies that you are going to put up for us to vote on?
So it's just going through my collection. No, remember, it is first time watches, sadly. Otherwise, I would choose Pitch Perfect again.
You've never seen before.
Two movies I've never seen before. I believe you guys have probably at least, either of you have seen at least one of these. But the first one is Brad Pitt's Killing Them Softly.
Okay.
That's Steelbook.
On Steelbook. It is a Steelbook. I've never watched it. I've owned this for quite a long time. Is bare bones, nothing in here.
Such a disappointing inside. At least put some pictures.
Yeah, I think this one Best Buy or Target did a steelbook thing, and I have The Departed, I have this, and I have Shawshank Redemption, and you open them up and that's it. It's terrible. Anyway. I've since upgraded those on 4K. But the other option is Tim Burton's Beetlejuice on 4K.
Beetlejuice.
Film I have never seen. So
I have seen it.
You have not seen it, really?
I've seen like 30 minutes of it, and then I think I fell asleep or I was doing something else.
Okay.
So I never continued it.
Well, these are our two options. Feel free to type away in the chat.
I think I'm in a similar boat there.
Nate, I'm guessing you haven't seen Killing Them Softly?
I have not.
Okay.
Okay.
So you have
it's been on, I think I have it on a list on Amazon or something.
I'm on a lot of lists, but we're not here to talk about that today. But yeah, feel free to type away and
okay. I got my pick. Yep.
And in 3, 2, 1.
Oh.
Wow. Split decision here. Ducky coming in with Killing Him Softly, Nate with Beetlejuice. Man, that's tough, guys. I feel like if there is one of these movies that we could watch during a certain month of the year, but that's quite a ways from now. And the other one,
it's before the sequel comes out.
Yeah.
September.
Maybe. Yeah. October. It does have a sequel coming out, so maybe we just throw a curveball here. Let's do Killing Them Softly. Let's do it. Why not?
Killing Them Softly.
I don't think any of us have seen it, so let's just... It's a very random film. Brad Pitt, action movie. So Ray Liotta's in it.
Shot. Cinematography. Ben Mendelsohn's in it. Cinematography by Greg Fraser, who did Dune Part 1 and Part 2, and he did The Batman. So you know the cinematography is going to be phenomenal.
Okay.
But we will go back to the Beetlejuice at some point here.
I'm going to see if it's streaming anywhere. I don't know if it is.
I think it was on Netflix, but Killing Them Softly.
It's on HBO. It's on Max.
Big director. Who did it again? What's his name? Andrew Dominik. He did Blonde.
I never watched that.
Marilyn Monroe movie that no one watched. But, yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't make a lot of movies, and his movies are very precise and meticulous. So,
it's only an hour and 37 minutes. Very quick watch.
Yeah, I think it's what hit, man. Yep. Okay, Killing Them Softly. It's an unorthodox pick, a little different. But, yeah.
Very kind way to take somebody out.
Yeah, good stuff. Softly.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
But, yeah, so why don't we move on to our next segment here, everybody, which I don't know how many movies we're going to talk about. We could do two. We could do three. We'll see how we're feeling after two. But it's going to be new releases. Yes, there's popcorn in here. Yes,
yeah.
I think I'm gonna have to bury that thing 6 feet under so I don't have it next to me anymore. It's making me uncomfortable, and probably you guys too, but me the least. So this is new releases where we're going to talk about movies that we have not seen before because they are new and maybe we saw them. So question, have we all seen the Millie Bobby Brown film,
Damsel?
No. I chose between the two today, and I went with the other.
Wow. Okay.
Nikki. All right. So Damsel. All right, John, let's knock this one out. Oh, what's going on there? Hello.
Stand by. Here we go. Damsel. Yeah. Okay.
What's going on here?
I just a little bit of
graphic. Is it Q&A about Damsel?
What? No, that's just another slide. Don't worry about it. We're here. We're talking about Damsel. All right. Damsel, a Millie Bobby Brown film, which for some reason Netflix just keeps putting her in movies, which I guess is okay with me. I'm not complaining. But we got Millie Bobby Brown, we got Robin Wright, we got Nick Robinson in there from
A Teacher.
And what's that other movie where he's coming out as gay and it's
Love Simon?
Yeah, that was a good movie. I like that. Directed by Jean Carlos Fresadillo, who doesn't really direct that many movies, but he made 28 Weeks Later, which I love, and I want a sequel for that, and we still don't have it. So, but here he is with the Netflix film Damsel, which is essentially about Millie Bobby Brown, who is a princess who's getting married away, and come to find out, she's being thrown in front of a dragon that wants to kill her and has a really creepy voice. So,
the dragon talks.
The dragon talks. It's not okay, better.
Than made a good patch. Choice,
and it was good because she's alone with the dragon for 95% of the movie, so it really needed to say something to her. Who does the voice for the dragon, Ducky? And why do you keep leaving the fucking thing? Get back here!
I think it's funny that like just you and Nate all of a sudden. But
I need to know what your thoughts were on this.
I don't know who voiced the dragon. It sounded like a familiar voice. I you'd have to look up the.
I looked. I couldn't find it.
I don't know, but Damsel, the movie itself, it's fine.
Wow,
it's totally fine. It's I don't know. I mean, it's just nothing that you haven't seen before. It's like that scene in the first Shrek when they go and rescue Princess Fiona. But like, instead it's Princess Fiona just fighting her way out by herself, and it's played by Millie Bobby Brown,
and there's no donkeys,
and there's no donkey. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's way Robin more Wright's kind of a fucking bitch. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, like, there were some fun elements to the movie. I mean, Millie Bobby Brown was fine. I don't think she was like exceptional by any means, but she was totally fine. The stuff with her and the dragon I thought was kind of entertaining, and the fact that it was talking, and like there was a whole backstory and lore that I thought was kind of interesting and was kind of unexpected there, at least. But for the most part, it's like one of the most forgettable in one ear, out the other type of movie that I've seen in a while.
Wow.
I mean, it didn't really do much to really like blow me away. The visual effects weren't that.
Like, just like 2004, yeah,
I mean, yeah,
it's fine.
I mean, I'm glad that Millie Bobby Brown and Netflix have such a great relationship.
Oh, I found who voiced the dragon.
Oh, who is it?
Nice, go ahead.
Her name's really hard to pronounce, but it's like Shohreh Aghdashloo. Is she 71 year old Oscar nominated Emmy winning actress?
Oscar nominated for what?
Her Best Supporting Actress nomination in The House of Sand and Fog.
Oh, The House of Sand and Fog. Okay.
But she's also in the show.
My favorite.
I've never heard of it.
She's also in what? House
of Sand and Fog.
I've heard of it.
But yeah, she's won an Emmy and she's 71 years old. So maybe that's
she was fucking great as the dragon. Okay, seriously, like, these guys come in, they stab all the eggs. Like, it's not cool, and she's upset. And there's some really cool lore involved. Like Spencer said, I don't want to spoil it because I actually did think that the story here was pretty cool. Like, I was invested. I was genuinely invested. I watched this at like 1 p.m. on like a Saturday last week, and I was like, damn, this is pretty fun. Like, I don't know, Millie Bobby Brown. I think she does give every movie her all. She went in here, she was dealing with this dragon, and she was not having a good time. And you know, this I think these people that are her adversaries, they get what's coming to them, and it's pretty fun to watch. So I had a good time with Damsel. Spencer says it's forgettable. It is, but you know, there's not very many movies streaming right now that are even worth fucking clicking play on. So
I mean, that is true. Yeah, and I wouldn't say this is one of them, but it's one that if you have an hour and 40 minutes to kill and you just kind of want a movie to put on the background, maybe check TikTok or YouTube shorts every now and then, yeah, it's fine. It's totally fine. Dude, the last shot of her like slowly like kind of like limping all like and acting like a badass, she's walking out on the bridge and the dragon's like flying over her with the shadow. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This is so stupid. Like, fuck this movie. Like, I got so mad. Like, so mad.
Spencer, you're like a big hater of last shots in movies, I find. Like, you're always like, oh, that last shot.
Yeah, I mean, don't make a stupid shot be your last shot of the movie. And like Game of Thrones too, and like what's her name, Emilia Clarke, what's her actual Khaleesi,
yeah, Daenerys.
She like goes she's walking up to the podium, whatever.
That's an insane shot. Are you about to say that's a bad shot?
But no, but like, it's very just like on your nose, like, oh wow, like, that's a very cool shot, like, oh, like, that's,
she's the mother of dragons
top in your face. And this one at the end is just like they try to go for that, is what I'm trying to say, is like they try to emulate that type of shot where it's just like, oh, it's so badass, I'm feeling so cool. But like every reaction when someone watches that is like, that is so over the top and stupid. Like,
and then there's me and Mike.
Oh, that was awesome.
Oh god, no way. That
was so cool. I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good time.
She is no damsel. That's the
that point. That is a good point.
I did
not
see
really
the trailer or like little clips of it, and I was just like, CGI galore.
I gave it a 2.5 out of 5, same grade as Shakespeare in Love. It's like a C+. It's totally fine.
So you, this could have won Best Picture.
Put on and watch it. Sure.
In 1998, eventually it would have beat out Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, probably would have gotten a whole bunch of nominations. No, it's fine. It's totally fine. It's not great, but it's on Netflix. check it out.
Yeah. I think it's worth watching if you just want to check out a little action flick with Millie Bobby Brown. You like little fantastical elements and dragons. And yeah, so I give it a 3.5 out of 5. I actually had this a lot of fun with this movie.
Damn.
Right. It's not no fairy tale. She's not no damsel. And she finds these little slugs that help heal her from the fire.
I like that aspect of the movie. I thought that was kind of cool. The blue slugs.
See, yeah. She had like little friends down there. And at first she didn't like them. And then she realized that they were trying to help her. I underestimated
you. And she picked it up and put it in her bag. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she used it for light because they were glowing slugs.
I'm just going to say this now. This is a sell. This is a double sell.
That's a double sell.
The best part about this is that it says only on Netflix. Yeah. Which is the only nobody place else it should it stay. No one else like ruin your platform.
I think it's better than the Millie movie Bobby Brown that came out. It's better than Princess with Joey King.
I never it's watched that. Than... Never watched it.
Well, it's not good.
Yeah, that's why I didn't watch it. yeah. All right, so that was Damsel.
Joey King's better performer. No, I will
get
say
fuck,
that.
Get the really. I, well, actually, I agree because I'm good. Yeah. 1, 2, and 3.
But a movie that we all watched, that you all listening could go and watch right now if you have Amazon Prime, Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah.
A little movie with Zac Efron, John Cena, Andrew Citino, directed by Peter Farrelly, who has done, I mean, Dumb and Dumber, Hall Pass, The Greatest Beer Run Ever, movie 43 apparently, and he is a two-time Oscar winner with Green Book. He directed Green Book and won 2 Oscars, and he it took 2 movies for him to go back to movies about porn parody covers and dick jokes. He is back to his true form. Back with Ricky Stenicki. This movie, the trailer came out a couple weeks back, and it was directed to Amazon Prime. The trailer was god awful. It was so bad. I remember, I don't even think I finished the trailer. It was like, this movie looks horrendous. And I just randomly logged on the app, saw that it was on, and I was like, you know what? It's like 9:30 PM.
Yep.
I'll just put it on and fall asleep to it. And I ended up watching the whole thing. I was like,
it made me chuckle. But I was watching this going, I really gotta watch this. But then honestly, there were moments where John Cena would just say something with a matter of fact face, and I'm just like,
yeah. All right. But
I'm glad he's here.
Into the movie, John. Why don't you tell everyone what this movie's about?
What you want to talk about? What you want to talk about it?
Wednesday. What you doing?
Chilly Wednesday Adams cat. Ricky Stenicki. I did. I found it outside my dad's house and I took it home because he didn't want to feed it. So now I have 2 cats.
Nice.
I know. Best fucking cat ever. Don't listen to that, Molly. It's fine. Anyways, Ricky Stenicki is a fun little concept where we have 3 groups of friends, one group of friends, 3 of them, and they happen to be pulling a little prank and they start to burn somebody's house down. Come to find out, they just randomly come up with this idea. Let's blame it on a fake friend and we'll use that throughout our lives. And just silliness ensues as they use that into adulthood and use it as an excuse to go on trips to Atlantic City and get away from their wives. So, little do you know that eventually they're going to want to meet little Ricky Stenicki, and John Cena comes into the picture.
Okay. Rod Rubenstein.
That's the plot. So I mean, when I found out that it was Peter Farrelly and it was the cast, I was like, all right, I'll give this a shot. And I definitely had some genuine laughs with this movie. It's not great by any means, and it falls flat quite a bit, but there are some moments in this movie where, like, I don't know if I laugh that hard in a while, like maybe like Thank with you. The Please Don't Destroy movie. But like, it's been a minute since I like audibly just laughed out loud. John Cena, like, I did not realize how funny he really could be. I mean, he was great as Peacemaker in the Suicide Squad movies, in the TV show. I mean, he has really good comedic timing. Never really saw too much of his wrestling stuff to really know. I mean, he's very much like a patriotic kind of symbol anyways. Like, I don't really know how funny he is, but he is so
he's a wordsmith. He's very he's a good talker.
Like, yeah. And like he really impressed me here with his performance. Like the one moment in particular is when he gets the job with William H. Macy and the other characters, and he has to confront the boss that he's like the ultimate like gobbler or whatever, like how he makes like he goes like this in his
penis.
And like that whole concept just was had me literally just like rolling almost onto the floor. Just like I couldn't believe how like far they were gonna go.
You're a chronic air dicker, dude.
He's an air dicker. Yeah.
He's an air dicker. Yeah. I gotta go tell him. Like, do you think it's a good idea? Yeah, go ahead. Go tell him. Like, and then they're like, hey, get in my office right now. Like, why the fuck did you tell me that I was the world class ultimate air dicker?
It's
And then he ends up doing it later. Like he's given the speech, he starts to do it, and then he's like
oh,
stops.
I mean, but it's like the most juvenile, stupid humor. But like it got me. Like it actually got me, and I was surprised. But it was all thanks to John Cena. Anytime he wasn't on screen, I thought it was the most directed streaming content noise that you see every week. But when John Cena was on screen, getting to shine as the character of the title of the movie. Phenomenal comedic stuff, but that's how I feel so far. But Nate, what do you think since you just watched it this afternoon?
It was so stupid, but just you put John Cena in these outlandish roles. Like, what was his name? Rock Hard Rod.
Yes,
and yep. He does all the rock and roll parodies. I did chuckle though when he was doing it was either Billy Idol or Alice Cooper. And just the way he just turns everything rated X, just I was chuckling. And the part that broke me is the scene with the circumcision.
Oh my
when they're
God.
Like, oh, Ricky can do it. If he could do it with like the pretty blackcocks in Africa, he could do it with this one.
That's what they said. And
they all know he's just a washed up
actor. He's got the cigar cutter. Yeah. And he just goes, done.
Insane.
And but he's so good though because he acts like a loser, but then when that one of their moms is like questioning him hardcore, you see him just kind of take a deep breath and he just turns around and just takes her to school and then goes, yep, I'm gonna go find that cheese plate, and he just walks away.
Yeah,
I think he's so just the whole sequence of him at that at the Briss party. Every single conversation he has, he's able to just snap into character. And I think it just shows like a lot of that had to be improv. Like he is just so insanely talented when he's doing comedy. Like even on like Jimmy Fallon, he's just so good. Like and especially in this movie when he's talking to William H. Macy when he first meets him and he says something about his like hair plugs or something.
Yeah.
And then there's like a close up of his hair plugs.
This is my hair.
This is my hair. It's real. It's real. It's like, no, I know hair plugs when I see them.
Immediately just belittling him about the merger deal and everything. Like he did the full research and he went full sober too.
He's so method.
It's like, yeah.
He's
like,
in withdrawals.
He's a raging alcoholic having withdrawals, but like he knows that he's playing a sober guy.
And what is really, he's like, someone smells Chinese food and then he looks down. He's like, oh, it's not what you think it is. It's just piss.
It's just piss. And also, dude, honestly, Andrew Santino, I watched him on Bobby Altoff's podcast. He's very funny as well. That's where I even heard about this movie.
His podcast Bad Friends with Bobby Lee is hilarious, and he's
he's with Bobby Lee. No shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, have you seen the Bobby Mother one where he like makes fun of Bobby's mom?
Zac Efron, the whole cast, Zac Efron, Cena, and the other guy were on Bad Friends podcast, and it goes off the rails within the first like 30 seconds. It's insane. Like it's so uncomfortable to watch, but it's pretty great. But yeah,
I just think it was a really funny concept that could have fell flat, and I personally don't think it did. I think it was really funny, and it's hard to have like kind of a raunchy comedy like this and also have like some like heartfelt character moments, and I feel like there were enough of those for you to actually care while also laughing. So personally, I really liked it. I had a lot of fun. I think it's the best comedy I've seen in a while. Like, it takes a lot for a comedy to really make me laugh, and I think it does have to have kind of stupid humor to really hit my funny bone, and it did. So it's a 3.5 out of 5.
Damn. Okay. Wow. Three and a half for John here. Yeah. Nate, what did you give this one?
I'm gonna give it around like a 3. I think a 3 is well deserved. It is very funny at times, but then there was also moments where I could feel like the, oh, we've seen this plot structure before, and
yeah.
But John Cena just makes it. Like when he's sticking his head out the cab when they're sending him away, they're like, all right, see you later, Rod. And he goes, no, it's Ricky. And if you guys watch, as the cab's pulling away and they're still talking, he's got his head stuck out the window the entire time, like staring them down.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
He's just like, no, I'm Ricky.
Changes his name legally. It's, oh my god, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, and his middle name is Barbara because that's his grandmother's name. Ricky Barbara Stinicky. Yeah, it's stupid funny. Like I went into it thinking it was just gonna be dumb, but then I laughed quite a bit, and it's just the outlandish characters that he does, and he has no shame. Like he's just this jacked 260-pound dude that's dressed up like J-Lo or Taylor Swift or whatnot. It's like he has no shame, and he's John Cena, so people are gonna watch it. But yeah, I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Yeah. Nice. I love to hear that.
At times it really did feel like a comedy movie from like 2007 and 2009 when you had like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Knocked Up, Superbad. Like those are the kind of movies from like the mid 2000s that were so solid. But then also it had those moments where it just felt like every other direct to streaming movie content noise that just gets released all the time, with the story cliches and tropes that just get so old so fast. And anytime Zac Efron was on screen, like it just wasn't that entertaining or that engaging. It was really all about whenever John Cena was on screen doing his thing, he absolutely crushed it. And I wish the movie focused actually more on John Cena, and less kind of about the friends, because they just weren't. I don't know. I mean, they were fine. Nothing really worked that well for me with all of them.
Because they were always on edge the whole movie. You know, maybe, they were like, oh, fuck, the whole movie.
But so, whenever Cena was there doing his thing, it was great. But I ended up giving it 2.5 out of 5. It's totally serviceable. It's totally watchable. It's a great little comedy. You can get some nice laughs out of it, if not some belly laughs. But it didn't really blow me away by any means. It's not like my favorite comedy that I've seen in a while, but I don't know. It didn't, you know, I got some good laughs out of it, so I was satisfied.
That's 3 2.5s in a row for you.
I know. Wasn't a great week of movies, but
and I could see this coming because the opening title sequence to this just felt very Netflix mainstream, just, oh, we're gonna make it cartoony, and oh, these guys pulling all these pranks, and Ricky Stinicky. I was like, nah.
Watch a movie recently that I gave like a 3.5, though.
Oh.
We're not gonna talk about it on the podcast, but it is it's called Stop Motion.
Oh, 2023?
It's 2024 technically.
Oh, is that the one that I've been seeing clips for with the creepy little girl made out of clay or something like that?
So yeah, Francosi, she was in The Nightingale. She's the lead in this movie. Yeah, she's like a stop motion animator with an overbearing mother who kind of is like over her shoulder telling her what to do, every meticulous detail of her trying to create the stop motion movie. That's very creepy. And then the mother like gets ill, is in the hospital, and she starts seeing this little girl that's like kind of being like, well, why don't you tell this story instead? And she starts doing a whole different story and gets totally immersed into it, and like it starts coming to life almost. Very creepy, a lot of cool use of stop motion. Strange movie, but it was very entertaining. So it was in theaters like for the last couple of weeks, but it just came to VOD recently. So I checked it out and really, really liked it.
Damn, you guys get all the good movies in the theaters.
And then the other movie I watched recently that I did like quite a bit was Sometimes I Think About Dying. It's with Daisy Ridley. She's just like this very shy, kind of just very introvert, very just kind of socially awkward girl that works in this office that meets this new guy that takes her on a date and she is trying to get out of her shell. But it's cute. It was very well done, very unique style. But I know it's not a movie that we all have seen or talked about.
Yeah, it's Daisy Ridley though, so she was great. It's got at least that.
Yeah. I liked it. I like her. It's very quiet, very somber, but it was a good movie. So I know I was 2.5 out of 5 on basically every movie we talked about, but I do like some other stuff that we don't talk about.
I know we have one more. I'll just give a brief mention too, because I know we are running over an hour here, but here we are. It's Love Lies Bleeding. I saw every new release this week. I did go see this movie.
This looked good.
It was pretty crazy. It was very like
I want to see it.
Thelma and Louise kind of style, where it's just like kind of a bloodbath at times, just always on the run from something. Dave Franco plays a woman beating asshole. Ed Harris is kind of a psycho in it, psycho like murderer guy, and these two together are an insane duo. Jenna Malone is beat to shit in the movie. It's pretty sad. But the makeup on her is laughable and pretty insane at the same time. I don't know. I just thought it was fun. I like the era that it takes place. It's like very, I think it's 80s, just the whole, all the costumes and stuff. And this one, it's Katie O'Brien is really good in the movie. And her whole thing is she's like kind of on the run, hitchhiking, and just wants to be in a bodybuilding competition and gets caught up in all of Kristen Stewart's shit. So it was cool. I highly recommend it if you guys get a chance to check it out. Is Love Lies Bleeding. Yeah.
Sold.
I think I gave it 3.5 out of 5. I'm pretty sure. I give a lot of 3.5 out of 5s this week. Actually, on all three of these films. So
no, you gave
I
it
did
a,
watch
you
a
gave
movie.
It a 4 in your letterbox, but it's still.
No, I gave it a 4. 4 out of 5 then.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that. Is there any other movies that you guys want to mention for new releases?
You were saying that you just saw a movie?
Well, I watched, it's not a 2024 movie, so it's not really relevant, but I did watch All of Us Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
And I cried like a baby. Like, yep. I'm not even joking. There was multiple times, like within the first half hour when I realized what the movie was, mm-hmm. I just started bawling. And
it's a very it's powerful movie, yeah.
It is, and very stylish in a way.
Cinematography.
But Paul Mescal, man, he's gonna win an Oscar one of these days. Like, he's fantastic. And yeah, I bawled and bawled and bawled, and having Claire Foy as a mom, and just the way that the parents kind of sell it, it was just. Yeah, it broke me. I sent Spencer a message afterwards. I was like, yeah, this broke me. I don't know if I'll ever need to watch it again, but it really had a visceral effect on me.
It's never going to get a physical media release, apparently. It's only going to be on Hulu. So it's the only place you'll be able to watch it.
Of course.
I saw this as well.
What's happening now.
This is another 2023 movie that I would recommend. It's pretty sad, but it has Jodie Comer from The Last Duel in it.
You good, John? What's going on with your? I got you.
Nah, shit. Am I coming through now or no?
I can hear you.
Yeah,
I put it up for you though.
Oh, is it working? I was very connection unstable for a second. Yeah. So, yeah, I saw this movie. This is another 2024. Came out in January with Jodie Comer. And it's basically like all of London is underwater and she has to flee like in a matter of seconds while she's also like giving birth. So it's kind of.
You love these movies about women giving birth in really terrible situations. I mean,
I don't know what it is.
Woman, nowhere, this movie.
It always pieces involves water for some reason. this was a pretty thrilling, kind of fucked up at times, like what's the word? Just kind of like almost end of the world esque type of film. So that's another one that I really enjoyed. Yeah. Mm. 4 out of 5.
Oh, and you also kind of
in the Royal before. Hotel. That's another good one, but I won't get right into it.
Yeah.
I love Julia Garner.
All right. Well, yeah, those are some new release movies that we all watch. As always, you guys can go and check out our individual letterbox list if you click the link tree in our bio on Instagram or any other platform that you're on.
Yeah. But that brings us to our very last segment of the show, the most anticipated segment of the show. It's mainstream trivia.
It's time for the answers, you know this fact. For the questions I'm about to ask, like,
what is the capital of Bolivia? It's mainstream
boy trivia!
All right. Welcome back to another rendition of Mainstream Boy Trivia, everybody. The segment where a game will consist of a variety of trivia questions derived from me. Each game will feature a new topic that each question will be in the spirit of. Spencer and Nate here, Ducky and Debbie, will buzz in trying to guess the correct answer. First dude to 4 points will be Mainstream Boy of the Week. So types of questions. We got to guess the film, movie quotes, film dates. It could be any variety of things. But this week in particular, it will be name the movie from the cast. Every single question will be name the movie from the cast. So, I'm going to give you 3 cast members from a film, and you can try to guess what it is. If neither of you can guess it, I'm going to give you another one and then another one. So, eventually, I'm assuming you will guess the movie. If not, then you know what? Might have a problem on our hands, but. Are you guys ready? Palate cleansed after doing the whole podcast to maybe try to guess some movies here?
Yep.
Fudge, yeah.
All right. So let's get the chat open here. Go ahead and give me your buzzword.
Same as always, Ducky.
It's going to be Ducky for Ducky. And for Nate, it's going to be what?
Deb.
Okay.
Awesome. Deb.
Here we go. Question number one. Tilda Swinton, Jude Law, and Leah Seydoux. What movie is this? Debbie.
Closer? Is that what it's called?
It's incorrect. It's not Closer.
Just to guess, Alfie.
It's wrong. It's not Alfie. Okay. I'll give you one more actor here. Edward Norton's in the movie. Tilda Swinton, Jude Law, Leah Seydoux, and Edward Norton. And I did. I didn't. I think I missed it. But all these movies have come out within the last 20 years. Ducky.
Motherless Brooklyn.
Motherless Brooklyn, no. That's incorrect. Nate?
It wasn't that 3,000 Years of Longing. Is that what it's called? Idris Elba?
That's incorrect. I will give one more actor here that hopefully will narrow it down. Jeff Goldblum is in this movie. Jeff Goldblum, Edward Norton, Tilda Swinton, Jude Law, Leah Seydoux. It's a very popular movie. Oh, did I get Deb? Oh, yeah, Deb?
Birdman?
Damn, Ducky?
Sky Captain World of Tomorrow.
What?
Sky Captain World of Tomorrow.
No. What the fuck? All right, here. Let me give another. Bill Murray's in this movie as well. Bill Murray, Jeff Goldblum, Edward Norton, Jude Law. Came out in 2014.
Dom Hemingway.
Jesus. Okay, hold on a second. Let me give you another actor that's in the movie. Dom Hemingway is incorrect.
He has another answer.
Oh, Ducky?
Midnight in Paris?
That's also incorrect. It's not Midnight in Paris. All right. Ralph Fiennes is in this movie. Ducky?
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Thank God. Holy shit. Wow. Jesus. Okay, I thought that was going to be the easiest one. That's going to be a problem. Here we go. Okay, so Ducky.
Tilda Swinton was in it.
Yeah, the first three are meant to be confusing, but then the other two were supposed to kind of give it away. But no worries. That is correct. Ducky is up 1-0. Nice job, Ducky. I mean, I don't think that either of you did a really good job on that answer, but that's okay. Going on to question number two. Your cast is Lisa Kudrow, Will Forte, and Jason Sudeikis. Again, all over the last 20 years. Do you want another actor?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Beanie Feldstein.
I don't know who that is.
Ducky?
Booksmart.
That's correct. It's Booksmart. It also has Caitlin Dever. Yes, it is Booksmart. That is correct. That's Beanie Feldstein, Nate, just so you know.
Right oh, there. Yeah.
I need to know that I have done one thing right with my life.
Jesus Christ. I don't know if that fits.
I don't know if that ever will.
Right? It fits.
Anyways, Ducky's up 2-0, but Nate has come back before, and he was
like, I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
2-0 Ducky. Here we go. Question number three, first to four.
Okay.
And your cast is Bruce Greenwood, John Goodman, and Don Cheadle.
Oh, I would ignore.
You buzzed in. I'm going to need an answer.
Fuck. Shit. Fuck.
No. All right. Oh.
I'm throwing it.
No? Okay. I'll give you another 10 seconds to give me an answer, Ducky, because you did buzz in first.
Boogie Nights. So. Done. Okay, Deb.
Debbie. No, it's not Boogie Nights.
Argo?
It's not. Wait. I don't think it's Argo. Hold on. Give me a second.
Fuck yourself is what it is.
It's not Argo. Nope, it's not Argo. Another actor, Kelly Riley's in this movie.
Fuck Kelly Riley.
All right, here's the other one. Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington, John Goodman.
Like the Equalizer?
John Goodman's in this movie. Bruce Greenwood is in this movie. Are you Googling? What am I here Googling? Oh.
He's stepping in his name.
Fuck, okay, sorry. Debbie. It.
American Debbie? Gangster?
That movie? No, John Goodman's not in that movie. But Denzel Washington?
Denzel Washington. This movie came out in 2012. I'm allowing anybody to buzz in.
Denzel Washington, Kelly Wright, Bruce Greenwood.
I love to see the gears turning. This is great. I'm trying. There's really not any other actors.
Deb and me.
Debbie.
Equalizer.
Nope, incorrect. Ducky.
Flight. Jesus fucking go.
It's Flight.
Never seen it, so I don't know.
Damn. It's hard for me to know. Okay. 3-0 Ducky. That's okay. Nate can still come back, and he has before, so I'm not even
okay,
worried.
You just said that. Okay,
I'm saying it again. Here we go. 3-0 Ducky. Here we go. Question four. Here's the cast. Cillian Murphy, Brendan Gleeson, and Benjamin Walker.
I don't know who that is.
Ducky? Ducky? Do you have an answer?
I had one, then I was like, wait, no, Cillian Murphy's not in that movie. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Nate, go ahead.
That's incorrect. Yeah, Nate.
This is 28 Days Later.
It's not. It is not.
The first two are in it too. Fuck.
Sorry.
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy is in this movie. Again, obviously, these are not the main people in the movie. I'll give another one here. Tom Holland is in this movie.
What?
Tom Holland is in this movie.
I don't know if you have this correct.
Oh, no, I do.
Cillian Murphy, Brendan Gleeson. Who the fuck is Benjamin Walker? That's what I want to know.
Debbie?
Sunshine. I'm just throwing out movies now.
I need another actor. Tom Holland.
Tom, yeah, he's Holland, not in a lot.
Cillian Murphy. What the fuck?
All right. Ducky?
In the Heart of the Sea.
A clean sweep from Little Ducky, the mainstream boy trivia champion. Well, here we go.
That's it.
We'll do three more for a palate cleanser for fun, but here we go. Ducky is definitely the winner today. Question five. Duck Jones, Charlie Hunnam, and Leslie Hope.
I know one of those names.
Mia Wasikowski. Deb?
Crimson Peak.
That's correct. It's Crimson Peak.
Wow.
Goddamn. Who would have thought? Crimson Peak. Yep.
That's really the only movie I can remember her being in.
Yeah, she's not in a lot. She's not in a lot. But yeah, Crimson Peak is the answer. Here we go. Question number six for fun. Dennis Quaid, Mandy Moore, and Aaron Eckhart. No, you're still here. You still have to play. Deb?
The Rookie?
Is incorrect. It's not The Rookie. Ducky, anything?
The Day After Tomorrow.
Is incorrect.
No.
Woody Harrelson is in this movie. Is this hard?
Yeah.
No. I can make easier questions. I mean, Ducky did 4-0 you, but I mean. Patrick Wilson and Ed Skrein are in this movie.
I don't know who the second guy is.
Me neither, but he's the lead actor in this movie.
Because of Winn-Dixie.
No, it's a 2019 war film.
Oh, Hoot.
No, what?
Hoot! 1917.
Hoot.
I don't know.
No, it's Midway. Duh.
Oh my god.
Get it back here. No, it's obviously Midway. Come on, you guys. Last question, then we can finish this fucking podcast. Rose Byrne, Brian Cox, and Garrett Hudland. What movie is this?
Troy.
You didn't put it in.
Sorry, I gave up. I was just trying to end the podcast.
Yeah, it's Troy.
I was going to say Troy.
Yeah,
got the crew in it.
Troy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Troy. Good job.
That was put my name in.
Yeah, Nate deserves the
under protest.
Yeah.
Under protest.
Nate wins the extra question round. How about that? We'll give Nate the dub on that part.
Yes.
Congrats everybody. Spencer, I really, I guess I deserve dub, but it is what it is. There's a reason why I don't do director questions, and I know that that would be a completely unfair.
100% could do that, but no.
Yeah, no, I refuse. Anyways,
I could put up a good fight.
Thanks for listening. Like, yeah, you could. You know your stuff. John Carpenter. Name 5 John Carpenter movies right now. Go.
Halloween, In the Mouth of Madness, The Thing, They Live, and Starman.
Boom. Horror champion of the week. Thank
that
you
works.
Guys so
much. Heard of a lie?
Hey, have you ever been dragged to the sidewalk and beat until you pissed blood?
I've got the magic in me.
I just won my first Grammy!
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
I said not the back door. There's doors we don't do. The back door's one of them.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
A metaphor.
Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you next time at Those Movie Dudes.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.